It's been 40 years since Richard M. Nixon became the first president to resign from office. In many ways, he's a transitional figure, catching the flow of Republican politics that had just begun to drift away from the more liberal Northeast to what would become the Republican Solid South. Roger Stone is quite familiar with Nixon, working on the president's campaign and in his administration. He also embraced the Goldwater conservatism of 1964. He is the author of a new book entitled Nixon's Secrets and will be in Rehoboth Beach for a book signing event this Friday, August 15th. We began our conversation with the significance of Nixon in the pivotal years that changed the Republican Party.
Well, first of all, it is true that his comeback was only possible because he recognized, although somewhat late, the party's lurch to the right, the ascendancy of the Goldwater wing of the party, which ironically was kind of like the Tea Party of today, and a shift away from the Northeastern moderates like Nelson Rockefeller and George Romney, William Scranton. So in 1964, when Nixon is in the wilderness, unlike the others, he campaigns for Goldwater very aggressively, knowing that Goldwater will lose, but realizing that he, Nixon, will collect all these IOUs while the liberal Republicans sit it out or tacitly support Lyndon Johnson. So understanding the conservative element in the party becomes a very key piece of Nixon's comeback.
So how does Nixon fit in with how the Republican Party begins to change? I mean, what's the relationship, say, between Nixon and the Reagan era?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. The religious right is not a factor in the Republican Party. There is the moral issues are front and center, but they're more centered around law and order and violence rather than they are, say, abortion and gay marriage. So there is a social factor within the party, but it is not Christian-oriented, it is not church-oriented. I think Reagan is more responsible for the ultimate rise of the Christian right, which begins to further destabilize the party. Now, any Republican running today has this conundrum. You need the Tea Party and the Christians and the regular Republicans to win. You cannot win with any one of those factions. You can't even win with two out of three. You have to have all three. This is why Nixon always said, move right for the nomination, move to the center for the general election.
What do you think Nixon would have thought of the rise of the Tea Party? I mean, what do you think his assessment would have been of that?
I'm not sure Richard Nixon could be nominated in today's Republican Party. I think he'd have a tough time getting nominated in today's Republican Party because he is neither a man of the left or the right. He is, in fact, a centrist. He's, in fact, a pragmatist. Because of his role in uncovering Alger Hiss and therefore his reputation as an ardent anti-communist, communism is the glue that holds the Republican Party together. Once the Soviet Empire falls and communism is no longer there as a binding issue, the Republican Party starts to factionalize into social conservatives, economic conservatives, libertarian conservatives, supply-side conservatives. The party starts to become more diffuse.
So how do you assess where your party is at this point?
Look, I think the Republican Party has exactly that problem. How to win a general election, you have to be, first of all, you have to be for something. You can't just be against the Obama administration, let's say, against Obamacare. And then secondarily, who could you nominate who did what Nixon did in 1968, which is hold all factions of the party together. In 1968, Nixon had the active support of Rockefeller and Goldwater. He had the active support of the moderate wing and the conservative wing. It's the only reason he was able to win. The Democrats were coming apart at the seams.
So looking forward, we're certainly seeing a change in demographics that I certainly interpret the Republican Party as reacting to, whether it's voter ID laws, that sort of thing. I mean, how do you see the GOP going forward, and is it capable of grappling with the changing demographics?
The answer is not getting fewer people to vote trying to block certain people to vote. The answer lies in persuasion. The party needs more young people. The party needs to change its position on certain underlying issues. The Nixon's war on drugs has been an ignominious, expensive failure. It's not working. And that whole thing, for example, needs to be rethought. The Republican Party needs to stand for sentencing reform and a more reasonable drug reform policy before it's going to be acceptable to a lot of the suburban and younger voters.
Do you see anything like that happening in the party, any elements of the party beginning to change?
In politics, you never say never. In 1964, the party was dead, finished, through. Not a chance that they would ever regain the White House. 4 years later, Nixon rolls into Washington and takes back the Casablanca. So you never say never in politics, but the Republican Party has to draw to an inside straight in order to make a comeback, and they also need the Democrats to fumble. I mean, Hillary attacking Barack Obama's foreign policy yesterday would be music to the ears of every Republican. Looks to me like the Democrats might have a big old fight of their own.
Roger Stone is a longtime political operative and worked for Richard Nixon. He's authored a new book called Nixon's Secrets. He will be appearing in Rehoboth Beach this Friday for a book signing event at Rouseabout Books. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.